This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. Cincinnati voters chose Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Aftab Purval and City Councilman David Mann to advance to this year's general mayoral election. Purval led a field of six in Tuesday's primary, with Mann a distant second. Meanwhile, voters overwhelmingly voiced their decisions on charter amendment issues, approving one and two related to council reforms and multiple criminal indictments, and rejecting an affordable housing amendment that would have mandated $50 million each year to improve access to less costly units. Let's talk about what went down in Cincinnati during Tuesday night's election. Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, continues now with WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. He joins us via Zoom. Howard, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well also. How did last night compare to previous primary elections in the city?
Well, it was fairly easy. I mean, it was not a very difficult night. There wasn't that much on the ballot, so compared to a presidential year or something like that, it was a breeze.
So there was predictions that there would be low turnout. I think the voter turnout ended up somewhat exceeding those limited expectations, even in spite of not a whole lot on the ballot, rainy day here in the town. Should we see a bigger turnout in November by the time the general election rolls around?
Oh, yeah, you will. I mean, you'll see at least twice as many people. I don't think the turnout yesterday exceeded expectations by very much. It's going to be larger in the fall, although typically it's still 30-35%. I mean, you're talking about a minority of the voting population making some pretty big decisions.
If you've got a question or a comment and want to join our conversation, give us a call at 513-419-7100 as we discuss Tuesday night's election results in the city of Cincinnati. So, Howard, if you're Aftab Purval or you're David Mann and you're looking at the results from a low turnout primary, what are you thinking about as you start to craft your message heading towards November?
Well, I think you're looking basically at two candidates who are just polar opposites of each other. One is a 38-year-old who kind of burst on the scene as a rock star in 2016, winning the clerk of court's office, has run for Congress, has run for re-election to the clerk's office, and now is a mayoral candidate, a real mayoral candidate who's survived a primary. People are saying that he is a veteran politician, but I mean, you know, I think that's just because he's run in four different races in the space of 5 years. In David Mann's case, this is somebody who is at now 81 years old, will be 82 years old in November. He is a veteran presence in City Hall. People in Cincinnati have been voting for him for decades, since the 1970s. And they know what they're going to get with David Mann. And I think he's just going to run a campaign saying, look, I'm the one that has a long career in politics and not a hint of scandal. And I can lead the city out of its current problems.
That's exactly what Councilman Mann said just last night after advancing to the general election. It's been his message throughout the primary, and he's cited some of the corruption cases at City Hall as a reason that you need a steady, experienced hand there. How can a candidate like Aftab Purval, who has now run in nearly every election year since 2016 for some office, establish himself as an outsider? Is it just because he's currently not elected to a position in City Hall? Will this message resonate with voters who might want a more significant change to the power dynamics in the building?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Michael, because I thought during the primary campaign, he didn't emphasize that enough. And I had talked to Mark Mallory, the former mayor, who was elected in 2005 and who endorsed Aftab Purval just before the election. And Mark Mallory, back in 2005, ran as an outsider, a person who's going to end the chaos at City Hall, and he ended up defeating David Pepper. I expect that Aftab Perwal is going to campaign more on that outsider image, that person who is a fresh face, who has no history being connected to anybody in particular at City Hall, who can look at things from a different perspective and come in and put his stamp on city government.
We're talking with WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson about Tuesday night's results in the Cincinnati city elections. When we break down the charter amendment issues that were on the ballot, all three of them decided overwhelmingly by voters, not even close. Two of them adopted, one of them rejected. Two of them address reforms to the way city council will handle future corruption cases, and the other one is related to affordable housing. So with such overwhelming rejection of the Affordable Housing Charter Amendment, for example, you probably have to assume that a lot of those voters also voted for either Aftab Perwal or David Mann. What can we read into where voters were on Tuesday night based on the returns in both the mayoral race and on those charter amendment issues?
Well, on the charter amendment issues, you had a situation where most of the mayoral candidates had come out against Issue 3, saying that taking $50 million out of the general fund budget every year was just too big a hit, and it was not necessary to do that in order to provide funding for affordable housing in Cincinnati. I mean, you had everything lined up against Issue 3. You had the three political parties, the Charter Committee, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, all against this thing. As I said, you had most of the candidates for mayor against it. And on the final weekend of the campaign, I thought this was very significant. They did a whole lot of mail pieces during the campaign because the anti-Issue 3 campaign had an enormous amount of money to spend, and they came out with one that was targeted to Democratic voters and said, here are three former Democratic mayors who are going to tell you why Issue 3 was a bad idea. They were Roxanne Qualls, Charlie Lucan, and Mark Mallory. And it was kind of, for a Democrat, there was somebody for everybody there. You know, they liked at least one of them. And I think that had enormous influence, too.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to lend your perspective to our conversation today. We'll go to the phones now where we find Martha. Hi, Martha. What's your question or comment?
Oh, well, I just left a message. Shall I say it again?
You certainly shall.
Okay. About Issue 3. I worked at a precinct near my home yesterday. I'm an old white woman, but I'm all for Issue 3. And this was a largely black precinct, and the voters I saw in and out of the rain, none of us could stay out there all the time, were for Issue 3. And wide support, I would think, among black people, especially. Now, my white neighbors, on the other hand, in Paddock Hills, drank the Kool-Aid, dripped out on us in five huge mailings.
So what you saw, Martha, was a breakdown among, your observations was that there was a breakdown as far as the vote on Issue 3 by race. You saw a lot of support among your black neighbors, but not a lot of support among your white neighbors.
No. They said our children have to go to the pools in the summertime. We can't vote for Issue 3.
Well, Martha, we do appreciate your observations, and thank you for working a precinct. That's always very helpful to your fellow citizens, and thank you for listening and giving us a call to share your thoughts. 513-419-7100 is the number. We'll go now to Mark. Hi, Mark. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I was just saying that, you know, issue three is not really about being a Democrat or a liberal or a Republican. I lean into the liberal side, and everyone I know and myself were overwhelmingly against the issues, not because we don't want affordable housing. It's just that there wasn't a plan. There wasn't anything. The money was just taken, and there was no specification. There was no end date. There was just money going into a bucket, and I don't think many people can trust where that would lead to. I'll take my comment off the air.
Mark, thank you so much for listening and sharing your thoughts with us today. We appreciate it. Howard, that does seem to be a pretty common criticism of issue three, is that people, yes, even vocal opponents of it, said we support improving access to affordable housing, but this $50 million mandate appears to be unfunded.
Sure. And a candidate like David Mann explained this in great detail, saying what the city actually does now to put money into affordable housing. But, you know, I want to go back to the thing that Martha was talking about black voters versus white voters. And this is I was watching this very carefully last night on the Board of Elections website. The turnout in many of the predominantly black precincts was really low, much lower than in other places like on the West Side or in, say, in Clifton or in Hyde Park, Mount Lookout, those kind of neighborhoods. And I think you saw it reflected not only in the issue three vote, but in Cecil Thomas's candidacy for mayor, because he kept falling further and further behind as more of these precincts came in. And the only thing that could have saved him was a larger turnout, considerably larger turnout, in the black community, where he has always done very well, and he is very well known, and he doesn't have to spend a lot of money in order to win black votes. But there just weren't enough folks coming out yesterday. Don't ask me why.
Cecil Thomas has been successful in the past. He's been elected to city council, obviously a state, yes, senator currently, term limited, serving his final term in the state senate. But he did finish a distant third, only garnering 16% of the vote. He did finish ahead of Gavi Begtrup, who only got 10% of the vote, although he did raise a lot of money. So talk about Cecil Thomas and Gavi Begtrup and what their political futures might look like locally.
Well, Gavi Begtrup surprised a whole lot of people. And I think, you know, that when Cincinnati Edition had him on, I think there was a pretty positive response to that, to his appearance on this show, along with other mayoral candidates. And I think he does have a future in politics, in city politics. He can raise money. But, you know, the fact is that Cecil Thomas has never raised a lot of money. He doesn't have to. He is known on the streets of Cincinnati. People know who he is, because he was a police officer, because he was the head of the Human Relations Commission, and now because he is their state senator. He's never had to raise the kind of money that an Aftab Perival or even Gavi Begtrup has had to do. But the fact is, Aftab Perival raised for this primary more money than all five of the other mayoral candidates combined.
Well, what does that tell us moving forward? I mean, is this going to be an expensive race heading into November? Because we have talked before, you and I, about Senator Thomas very rarely raised. He's not known for his fundraising prowess, basically, although he is consistently successful. This time he was not, while also not raising a lot of money. While the two candidates who are advancing, certainly Aftab Perival raised the most, and David Mann ran a relatively, comparatively significant amount as well.
Yeah, he did. And I don't think you're going to see the kind of money that was spent by, say, John Cranley in 2017. He raised and spent $2.3 million. But that was back when, before the voters adopted this new ordinance, which says that you can't bundle LLC contributions from a single individual or a business, so that, you know, they could contribute the $1,100 maximum like 15 times if a person, a business person, had 15 LLCs. Can't do that anymore. And it's going to drive down the amount of money that these candidates can raise. Now, I have no doubt that Aftab Perival is going to end up outspending David Mann. But on the other hand, David Mann is also in a position, somewhat like Cecil Thomas, that he doesn't need as much money because of how well known he is. And also because of the fact that in this primary election, there were probably about 20 to 25% of the electorate were people who are Republicans. And Republicans had no candidate on the ballot. And even Alex Triaunafillou, the chairman of the party, will tell you that he knows that the vast majority of them that voted for David Mann. He's a familiar face.
We'll go back to the phone lines very quickly. I've got about 15 seconds for you, Marge. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm just going to congratulate you on this wonderful presentation of the candidates, an exciting one. And I don't even live in Cincinnati anymore, but I think this is just a really exciting outcome. And I think you are doing a smash-up job. Your whole program has just raised the political consciousness in our community by miles, and you're bringing out the best in your dear friend that you talk with every day. You know, you're bringing out the best in him. He's really speaking from
Marge, that's so grateful for your comments. You're so kind. Thank you very much. Howard, I think all that love was for you. It's from me as well. So thank you. I send you love as well. Thank you. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.